How does one break through negative emotions? How? Principally, of course, obviously, by cultivating the positive emotions. And here practices like the Metta Bhavana, development of universal loving kindness, they're rather difficult, can help very much. One can also break through negative emotions by associating more with people who are emotionally positive. People who are either full of love or compassion or joy or confidence or even just ordinary cheerfulness. This can help very much indeed. Also, by eating the right kind of food, not the sort of food that clogs the system and weighs you down, makes you feel sort of heavy and stiff and lethargic, the sort of food which only too many people in Anglo-Saxon countries do eat. One can also break through into the positive emotions, at least to some extent, by living more in the open air. Rather difficult in this country, of course. I've also got in my notes, especially in the sunshine. I rather wondered when I made the notes whether it would be raining at the time of giving the lecture. But this does help. I was reading a little while ago an article in a magazine which, according to which experiments have been conducted in America which showed that if you worked in the sunshine and if you were exposed to more sunshine, you became more intelligent. Not basically, but you could deploy your intelligence more successfully. They tried experiments with students, college students, and they gave one group of students their examination at the end of a period of bad weather and the other group of students their examination at the end of a nice sunny spell. And the students who were examined at the end of the nice sunny spell did far better than the others, even though in other respects they were completely equal. And this experiment apparently was repeated a number of times. One experiment wouldn't have been enough to establish the point. And it was found that sunlight stimulated intelligence. And sunlight certainly stimulates the positive emotions. So if one wants to break through into a more positive emotional state, well, stay in the sunshine as much as you can. And of course, look at things like green grass and blue sky and try to surround oneself with bright colours. Perhaps one should dress more brightly and more colourfully, because all this has a sort of psychological effect. It's known, for instance, in mental hospitals, if you put the patient in a room which is decorated in grey, he'll just get more and more depressed. But if you put him into a room which is pink or red, he'll be stimulated. The same with yellow, the same with orange. These are stimulating colours. And it is perhaps a bit significant that until quite recently, in the Anglo-Saxon countries at least, conventional dress for men was so dark. It was black or brown or navy blue or a dull grey. And this must have had a horrible sort of psychological effect upon the people who are wearing this sort of dress. And it therefore is, I think, a quite healthy psychological sign that nowadays that so many people, especially men, are wearing more colourful dress. It means a more positive emotional state, a more positive emotional attitude. So much for how one breaks through into a more positive emotional state through the negative emotions. Next, how does one break through psychological conditionings? Mainly, of course, through awareness. Awareness that one is conditioned, is mechanical, is not free. But how does one develop this sort of awareness? How does one extend it? How does one amplify it? One can sometimes do this by subjecting oneself, quite deliberately, to an unfamiliar type of conditioning. Suppose, for instance, that one's psychological conditioning is English. Then just go and live a while in Italy, or go and live a while in India, or Japan. And if one lives there for a while, one will become aware of one's own conditioning. Because one will become aware of the conditioning of the people in the midst of whom one is living, their conditioning, with which one is unfamiliar, will impinge on your conditioning, sometimes rather uncomfortably, not to say painfully, and this will make you aware of your conditioning. For instance, you go to India and you find people there have got all sorts of horrible and disgusting habits. Not at all English. And one of the dreadful things they do is they eat their food with their hand. Most of them, they don't use a knife or a fork or a spoon. Their hand goes straight into the rice and they eat with their hand. And English people, at first, are very often deeply shocked by this, and they think it terribly unhygienic. Because you're eating food with your hand. Admittedly, the Indians wash it before eating with it, but that doesn't impress these people very much. But after you've been there a bit, or after you've been there a while, you begin to get used to it. It seems to make a sort of sense. And eventually one realizes it was only because of one's own conditioning that one felt at first shocked to see people eating with their hand. And to the extent that you become aware of your conditioning, to that extent you become free from that conditioning. So it's a very good thing to travel, to see new parts of the world, new countries, to meet new people, people of different races, religions, languages, colours, cultures. It makes us just a little bit more aware of our own conditioning. As we get older, of course, we often tend to visit only the old familiar places and to see only the old familiar faces. We think, oh, well, I'll go back there. I went there 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I've been there maybe every year for 10, 15, 20 years. Let's have another holiday there. It's the same old hotel keeper. It's the same old beach. It's not changed. In this way, we just travel in the same rut over and over and over again. And as we get older and older, and we'll all get older one day, we have to beware of this. So this is one of the ways, or just a few of the ways, in which we can break through psychological conditions.